Well, good morning. We welcome you to a place where God has chosen to establish His name. We make our beginning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgive the iniquity of my sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. And upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God and to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my plea for mercy. Enter not into judgment with your servant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I fled to you for refuge.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and the earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee. We glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord, Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Thank you. Let's pray. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, And grant that we may ask in faith, we may obtain through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the reading of the Scriptures. The Old Testament reading. God's good purpose, it says, Genesis 50, 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Then he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Fear the Lord, you His saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. In the epistle lessons from Romans 14 about not passing judgment on one another. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. You, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it's written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is to be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Since he could not pay, His master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And let me repeat that. "Have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized him, began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." Let me repeat that. "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused, and went and put him in prison that he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you have had mercy on your fellow servant, not had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him over to the jailers until he should pay all the debt. So also, your heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you did not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
And we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we saw a 7 of the first 2 numbers of the temperature this morning. Anybody like that? I think fall is upon us. I'm going to turn with you to a story that I know most of you have probably heard before. It's the Gadarene demoniac from that story. And the story that I'm going to read from is in Mark, but there's a parallel in Luke. There's also some comments in Matthew as well, and I'll make some comments about what was said in there. But I would say that not just we Lutherans, but most American Christians historically haven't really known what to do with demons. And I remember as a boy reading some of these stories and I'm thinking, man, I wonder where they went. Do you ever think that? How many of you have ever seen a demon running around? Not that we know of. I'm sure some of us called some people one once in a while just because they didn't do what we like. But this is, let me say, I think we've got a risk of thinking in the Western culture, this is just in general our culture, and that's changing a lot recently. But we've got this thought that, okay, here's this line, above that is God, and below it, that's kind of us, and we don't know what to do with this angelic realm the Bible calls the heavenlies, the realm of the good and the bad angels and all that stuff that's kind of permeable with us. We don't really know what to do with that. And we're at risk of not understanding it because we don't know what to do with it. And so I think it's important that we just let the Word tell us what the Word says about that whole realm this morning. And then talk about how do we live in a world where there is this presence of evil forces around us. How many of you grew up being taught to pray Lord Luther's morning and evening prayer? Yeah. Let the evil foe have no power over me. You don't pray that if there's not an evil foe that has. By the way, this is the question. Is the devil God's enemy? We'd all probably, I mean, most people say, yeah. But he is a defeated enemy. So in a sense, God has no active enemy because he's already beaten the devil. You understand what I'm saying? Now, do I have an enemy? Yes. God's defeated him, but he hasn't shut him up in a box somewhere where he can't get to me. That's where we need to get some traction. And I'm going to go there, if I could, this morning with you. Let's start. This is in Mark 5. If you want to get your pew Bible out, you're welcome to follow along there. I don't know what page that's on. Somebody finds it, Mark 5, then shout out the number and we'll all turn there.
Eight forty.
Don's the winner. Any of you have those sword drills so you can get there the fastest? I was never very good at that. I was always waiting for thin Bible with thick pages. It didn't happen. They went went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus got out of the boat, and it says in Luke that when his foot touched the shore, it says a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. It said he hadn't lived in a house or with clothes on. This guy's a wild man. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, even with a chain. For they had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons off his feet. That's just, I can't picture what this would have been like. And this area, and they know this guy, okay? Everybody knows him. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he'd cry out and cut himself with stones. You couldn't avoid knowing about him, hearing him, whatever else it is. So this is a very visible man. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." And I think it's Luke that says also that before the appointed time, which means he knows his end, the demon does. For Jesus had said to him, come out of that man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what's your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. And the demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. And just a side note here. A lot of people who know a lot more about demonic activity than I do seem to say that demons, they need to have a place. So I didn't want to go out here, and that's why Jesus said at one point, you know, if you cast a demon out, he goes and hovers over the waterless places. No place they can find home. And when they come back, if the place is just swept bare, then they bring seven demons with them and your condition is worse than before. Well, that idea of if you cast something out, then you got a vacuum. Well, nature abhors a vacuum, so if you don't fill what's now been emptied of a demon with the presence of the Holy Spirit, well, then the demon just comes back and he brings his buddies with him. That's the verse that literally says that's what happens. And so it says they begged him to go and he gave him permission. Verse 13 there. And the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs, and a herd about 2,000 in number rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Now let me just quickly flip over to, where is it? Yeah, chapter 6. Would you turn to chapter 6? Let's see, verse 53. This is chapter 6, verse 53. Now, in Luke, there's quite a bit of stuff between that time and this time. This chapter 6, 53, let me read you what happens. When they crossed over, Jesus had just done the feeding of the 5,000, and they've just had Jesus walking on water. That happens between this. It says, when they crossed over, they landed again. Remember what we just read? It says they said, they were terrified, and it says, Jesus, leave us. Just get out of Dodge. We don't want you here. Okay? As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, and countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them even touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. What did we just read back here? Get out of Dodge! They were terrified. And then he comes back the next time, and they're bringing him from wherever. You say, what happened? I'll show you. Go back to chapter 5, verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but he said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had great mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis. Decapolis means ten city area, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. So at one point they're just terrified, but this guy does exactly what Jesus... Now wait a minute. He didn't even go to Sunday school one day. He didn't own a Bible. He didn't go to a seminary. And he goes home and does just what? God has been so good to me. And told him what he had been. Because there had been a whole area knew him. Now he's in his right mind and dressed. And telling them, this is what God did for me. And the difference between, would you please get out of Dodge, and bringing anybody in there, but so they say, can I just touch your coat? And they'd be healed. That difference is this one crazy man set free. I wish we could back up as Lutherans in particular, because we were How many of you are baptized as kids? Most of us are baptized as children. We have a hard time backing up and read the scriptures and what it says about us before we're baptized. You know what it says? Blind, dead, and an enemy of God. Blind, you couldn't see God. Dead, even if you could see Him, you wouldn't. You couldn't get up and move. And if you did, you'd run from Him because you were an enemy. God transformed us from something kind of ugly and dead to something beautiful and alive. But we live most of our life in the shadow of God's grace, and so we don't really easily measure the before and after. And the difficulty with that, and I'll speak for myself, is that we have a tendency, we're tempted to think, okay, we're not like those sinners. And so we, the epistle lesson today, have a tendency to judge other people. Look down on other people who aren't quite as regular church as what we all are. I looked at this and I thought, okay, Paul says it right, Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not, in other words, the fight's not about what? Persons and bodies, but against spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. Right? We don't wrestle with people. Our wrestling match is not with people. There's an unseen realm. It's the realm of evil. There's a realm of good and there's a realm of evil. That's a reality. That's where the wrestling, that's where the fight is. And then when the Bible talks about your devil, the enemy, your devil, not God's enemy, Luther was right. He called the devil God's devil. Another place he says he's a devil on a leash. Now you can ask yourself the question, why didn't God just come back and end it all? Like get rid of all this evil? Why didn't he just draw the curtain? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you have an unsaved friend or family? Yeah, that's why. In fact, the Bible says very clear that he's patient. But we need to ask ourselves another question. What more does God need to do? What more does God need to do? Because he has already, he said, I'm Emmanuel, I'm God with you. He came, Jesus came, purposefully to die for what otherwise would have destroyed us forever, separated us from God. He came to remove everything that separated us from God. He's already done that. He's given us the life then that begins when we are reconnected with God through Jesus' death and resurrection. That's an eternal life. He's given us that. It's already ours. He has also equipped us with His Holy Spirit, and He's given us an operator's manual. By the way, when you have an operator's manual in for something you buy, that tells you how to deal with the object. This operator's manual is different. This operator's manual gets you connected with the manufacturer. See the difference? Your manual will never connect you to the manufacturer. It leaves you on your own trying to figure out how to work this thing. This one connects you to the Creator who made all things, including you. He's already done all that. And in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says something very profound. He says, if my people, I've quoted this before and I'll probably quote it again, if my people, not the other political party, not the people that you don't like, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and anybody know the last phrase? Heal their land. The healing of America, let's bring it a little closer. The healing of Texas. No, a little closer. The healing of Wallace. No, let's bring it a little closer. The healing of my family is dependent upon my willingness to say, God, I am so grateful that you've forgiven me. Give me the grace to pass it on just as freely to somebody else. That's the call of God on our heart. Billy Graham was quoted some years ago as referring to the Lutheran Church as a sleeping giant. Incredible theology. Deep understanding of the balance of Scripture. And that's an important thing. I'll come to that in just a little bit. That's important. But living it out is not how we're known. In fact, the research, there's some research done about 30-some years ago. And they found out the Lutherans say, we're saved by grace, But if you follow us around and watch us, we're saved by what we do. How we behave. How we do the right things. And all those kind of things. Yeah. I remember when I moved to the South, I never met so many Baptists. They're everywhere. And I heard this mantra. Catholics are going to hell because they believe in being saved by works. Then I'd hear the Baptists, don't smoke, don't drink, don't dance. And I thought, what is that? That's works. And I thought, we got our own brand of that. You know, measuring whether you got it right. And almost having confidence in what we believe rather than confidence in God who gave us breath. Yeah. So when he said, let me read. This is a verse from 1 Peter chapter 5, starting verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Looking for someone. He didn't have free access, but he's sure watching somebody he can. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. There is a devil. He is prowling around, but we need to not be demon-centered. We need to be Christ-centered. That's key. Luther accused some people throwing the baby out with the bath, so to speak, looking at the cradle that held Jesus, the scriptures itself holding Jesus, and looking to the cradle, not to Jesus himself. And when it says in Matthew 16:23, where Jesus has said, I'm going to go, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. Peter says, oh, took Jesus aside, that was gracious of him, took Jesus aside and said, no, Lord, that'll never happen to you. Remember what Jesus said? Get me what? Get behind me whom?
Satan.
And what did Jesus do? I thought Peter said that. He did. Remember the time in the Old Testament where David, it says, the devil put in his mind to count Israel. The enemy can put thoughts in your head. And I've found out the way he puts thoughts in my head, it usually starts with I don't like, or whatever else. And when the Word says we should take every thought captive, the weapons, 2 Corinthians 5:10, the weapons of our warfare, and it is a war, we battle, it's not against flesh and blood, it's against spiritual powers in the heavenlies. The battle, the gifts of our warfare are divinely powerful for the tearing down of strongholds and every lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive. I need to be careful about the things I let go flying through my head. You do too. Luther said you can't keep a burden flying over your head, but you can keep it from making a nest in your hair, if you had any. Which means not every thought that I have is my own. And every thought that I have that is my own, that's not his, I need to take that one captive too. And I'm capable of some pretty bad thoughts. And so are you. But even when we don't have a bad thought, the enemy is capable of bringing one. And so he says, we need to learn who we are. And we need to learn the Word in such a way that when the thought comes by, we say, oop, no, that went in. I remember years and years ago hearing the way they would train a teller to recognize a counterfeit bill was what? What do you look at? All the examples of counterfeits? No. You just memorize every line on the bill. If anyone comes in, you don't even have to see what it is. Your mind goes, burr. It's a counterfeit. Not the real thing. So we get to know the enemy by knowing the real thing. Now, discerning evil. Okay, this is Luther now. Luther was what was called a dialectical thinker. He could think this thought and this thought at the same time, even though those thoughts were contradictory. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying at least? That may not make sense yet, but it will in just a second. Okay, he could think this and this. This didn't rule this out. This didn't rule this out. But these aren't the same. Is Jesus God or is he man? Yes. Is it blood, a body and blood, or is it bread and wine? Yes. Okay. A lot of things in Scripture, we have our Protestant friends around us, they'll camp out on one and ignore this, or camp on this one, ignore the other one. And we let the tension remain. And my favorite proverb to prove that is Proverbs 26, verse 4. It says, do not reprove a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him in his ways. Verse 5, reprove a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And the difference is what? How do you know? How do you discern today this fool is just stuck in his head? Leave him alone. You're just going to get it all over you, right? But this fool is open. And so you talk to him. If you don't, you let him alone going off after his foolery, and it ruins his life, and you could have done something. But a week later, this fool may have had a train wreck in life. And now he's no longer the fool who's closed. He's the fool that's open. And how do you know the difference? It's not about education. You can memorize the Bible and not know what day this is. Knowing the difference, discerning spiritual matters, comes more from intimacy than education. I guarantee you that, because I'm pretty educated. And I know a lot of pastors who are educated and just pretty spiritually stupid. I'm not talking about necessarily Lutheran brothers. I'm talking about in general. I hear pastors say some things sometimes. I think, oh, man, Lord, would you rewind and erase that from people who heard that? Some really very biblically blind, in some cases, dangerous things. There's a man, you may have heard him, who preaches publicly that Jews can go to heaven today on the basis of the old covenant. And that just grieves me. That's sentencing our Jewish brothers to an eternity without God. The only Savior of mankind is Jesus. He is the Messiah for every human being. And so when we look at how you discern, you know, this man, this, to get back to the demoniac, he wasn't educated, but he knew the one who set him free. And that's the one we need to get to know. And that's why when I've been here, I've talked about your identity in Christ, who you are because of what he has done. That's not necessarily how you behave. We all want to behave better than what we know. And we all know more than what we're living out. I realize that. We're on that journey towards becoming more and more like Christ. But we need to know. We need to know as a foundation who we are because of what God has done for us in Christ. That's the beginning place. And then knowing his word well enough to recognize when those thoughts come by, Peter didn't take it captive. Oh, no, Lord, that shouldn't happen to you. It sounds like a wonderful thing to say to a nice friend that you don't want to hurt. But Jesus was on a mission. And when the enemy speaks words that gets us off of our mission, we need to take those thoughts captive. And that's the maturity that brings us to a place where we can have the kind of intimacy with him that knows how to walk. Not only within ourselves, but with people around us. Oh, a word timely spoken talks about being a gold, precious, valuable in the process. I'd like to pray for us today that, let me just pray. Father, I ask that you would, number one, show us that you have already done everything we need to stand against the enemy. You've given us everything that we need to know you now and forever. You've given us all of what we need to tell others about what we know so that they can join us in time and in eternity. Lord, the day is going to come, one day. One day is going to come, and one man somewhere around the world, that one man on that one day is going to pray one prayer, accepting you. And the heavens are going to rip open from one end to the other. The archangel will shout, the trumpet will blow, and you will appear in all your glory. And there will be no more crossing over Jordan at that day. So Lord, I ask that you give us a heart for that one man who one day will pray one prayer to receive Jesus, and then the end will come. Lord, until then, we thank you that you're patient with us and that you're patient with our unsaved family, friends, and neighbors. But give us the grace. Give us the grace, Father. And not necessarily without anxiety or fear, but give us the grace to begin to walk in the light as you are the light. To walk in the way as you are the way. And declare the truth as you are the truth. We pray it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray for the whole Church of God. Lord, let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in your mercy, you've forgiven our insurmountable debt of sin, ransoming us with the death of your Son. Free us from our grudges and unforgiving nature, lest through our lack of mercy we exclude others from your forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, as you kept Joseph from evil and brought good from his suffering in Egypt, deliver us by your grace so that we may learn patience in trials. Teach us to be slow to judge, quick to forgive, and steadfast in love for you and one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you, O Lord, for remaining among us, for retaining among us your holy scriptures and holy word and sacraments. Continue to raise up faithful stewards of your mysteries, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name will be proclaimed in our midst and throughout the world. Prepare your baptized children to be faithful confessors of the hope that is in them. Lord, in your mercy. Caring Father, visit the homes of your people. Keep them from all harm and danger, and grant that they would dwell together in peace under the protection of your holy angels. Lord, in your mercy. God of power and might, sustain the nations of the earth and lead them in the way of justice and truth. Defend life and liberty and give us honest and faithful rulers so that our nation may strive toward what is honorable, true, and just. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, according to your will, grant healing and to the sick and infirm. And Lord, we lift up to you Steve Trojic this morning, who is not feeling well. Scott and Judy Stallings, Lord, continue to be with Larry Foltz and Robert Calabaeus, Mary and Alfred Durson, who are now in an elder care facility. Jerry Schaffner, Lord, continue to bring healing there, and for Cynthia Skolton, Dean and Sue Soberly, Barbara Hanvey and Scott Papka, Bob Dittert, Don and Donna Tolner, J.D. Reyes and Rielda Escobedo. Grant them patience to endure their time of suffering and crown their days with your mercy. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, though we come to your table as servants who owe a debt we cannot pay, your Son has forgiven us in its entirety. And we receive his very body and blood for our forgiveness. Let us be grateful and go out to serve others with the same spirit of forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May be seated for singing the hymn. Let's rise. The Lord be with you.
My spirit.
Thank you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink it of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which he shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The Lord's peace always be with you.
Welcome to the Lord's table.
Thank you, Mark.
Take and eat the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the true blood for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith of the life everlasting. Go in peace.
Depart in peace according to thy word. For thine eyes is in my salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and
give thanks to the Lord for His good.
His mercy endures forever.
Let's pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Thank you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The benediction is not to be, this is the end of the program. It's to be God's word of strength and encouragement to you that as you leave, you will walk in what God has shown you through His word. So as a symbol of that, could you just simply hold your hands up and receive the Lord's benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord reveal His face to you and give you His peace.
Amen.